Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Well, we have another honor to do today. I really enjoy honoring what God's doing and giving Him praise for what He's doing, what He's done, and what He's about to do. Amen. I would like for one of our elders, Doug Logan, to come up. He had a homecoming. He went on an honor flight to Washington, D.C. yesterday and got to go through all the memorials and all. And there was over 1,000 people that welcomed all these guys home up in the Asheville airport today, or last night. And it was a sight to see. And I really do appreciate all of you guys that could come. And I know that a lot more would want to come, but it was, when you begin to see people honored, especially something that was long overdue to this Vietnam group, long overdue, really. But we just really want to honor Doug today, and we have a presentation that Miss Lisa is going to give.
Try to get through this without crying. For those of you who were there last night, being part of watching Doug and the rest of the veterans come home is something that words can never express. As Pastor Terry shared, it was a homecoming, long overdue. Hearing the stories from each and every one that deboarded from that plane as they walked through was heartbreaking. Watching them break down with gratitude to thank us for giving them the homecoming that they deserved so many years ago. Doug Logan, thank you for your service to our country. Many of you don't know this, but Doug is also a Silver Star recipient. And Doug, I know you're very humble and don't usually share this, but on behalf of the military ministry and the new Threads of Hope ministry, we want to present you with this quilt that was knitted together with love, with prayer, and in the middle you'll see your silver star.
I don't even know what I could give. I thought going back to the monuments and in Washington, D.C., and touring with the other veterans and seeing all of the things that we thought that we missed in coming home and having to face the situation, not wearing a uniform, not being able to talk about Vietnam for 40 plus years, not wearing anything that represented Vietnam for 40 plus years. And then coming through all of the people that congratulated us in Washington, D.C., and from all over the country, thousands of people. But my biggest reward was to walk in Asheville Airport. Not only my grandchildren, but I just surprised. They surprised me because as I walked around the corner, church members, the pastor, and people, and before I got off the plane, what was so amazing, I had a bag like this right here with cards and letters, and I asked the lady on the guardian on the plane, how did you get my address? I could not read. I could not read. I started to read them, and she said, you're not going to be able to do this on the plane. So I said, I'll do it when I get home. I got home, I couldn't get it done. I've got cards and letters more than I ever would have dreamed. I have more cards and letters than I've had in my whole life. I don't know how to say thank you, but I'll tell you what. You thought I was surprised last night. I was amazed last night. You know what that came into my heart? After missing all of the things that I thought that I missed from being a Vietnam veteran, in and back into this country as a Sergeant E5, Silver Star medalist, and no parade, no anything. Last night was my best life, best time ever. I listened this morning that they sung the song, "What the Devil Meant for Evil, God Meant for Good."
God bless you. God bless you.
I just wanted to add real quick, for those of you who don't really know what a Silver Star Medal is, it's the third highest personal decoration of valor in combat. The Silver Star Medal is awarded primarily to members of the United States Armed Forces for gallantry in action against the enemy of the United States. Most of you know what the word gallantry means, but I'm going to read this definition. Gallantry is courage. Courage is the choice and willingness to confront agony, pain, danger, uncertainty, intimidation. Physical courage is bravery in the face of physical pain, hardship, death, threat of death. That is what Doug Logan was awarded that Silver Star for. Let's give him another round of applause.
I've been knowing Doug for a long time, many, many, many years. It was 8 years of knowing him before I realized that he was a recipient of the Silver Star. And I saw it in this glass thing that he made just at that time. And I asked him, I said, "That's Silver Star." I said, did you receive that? He said, "Yeah." And I said, "I've been knowing you for 8 years and you have not talked to me about that." Matter of fact, he wouldn't talk to anybody about it. He just wouldn't talk about it. And I talked to him and I worked with him for, I don't know, several times when I got around him. I said, "Doug, the history of your valor and your bravery is inside you. Your family needs to hear it. Your children need to hear it. Your grandchildren, your church family, anybody else needs to hear it, that there are still men that serve the country with valor, serve the country with bravery. And they don't just give those away just haphazardly. It has to be very qualified to do that, and he qualified for that. But now he's been able to, over the years of knowing him after those first 8 years, he's able to talk about it now without having anything like he's promoting himself, because he's not. And our kids today needs to hear about brave men and women who love God and country. Amen. They really do. But, he also said last night, you know, and we realized that every Silver Star recipient, when he comes home, it is customary for them to have a parade. And he said last night to the group, when he walked through and he got with a group of us that were there, and he said, "I had my parade tonight." So it's an honor to have him here at the church. It's an honor to have him as one of our elders, one of our leaders. And he's just a wonderful man of God. And Vicky is a wonderful woman of God as well. His whole family is just godly, godly people. They really are. And you've done a good job raising those kids. You really have, and grandkids. Well, our honoring is not over. You ready to do another one? Would you, along with me, honor your associate pastor, John Mitchell?
I love you, bro.
I love you too.
Yes. Thank you so much.
I appreciate that.
And we just thank God for just being here. I tell you, my heart is just filled just looking at Ella Doug and just thanking God for him. And, you know, just, you know, how many know that it ain't every day you get to be beside a living hero? You know, sometimes I'm not saying this to be negative, but most of our heroes, well, they in the past, they died and moved on, but we got a live hero right before us today. I think it's awesome. Amen? I just think it's awesome. You know, and I just salute you, my brother. Thank God for you, you know, and just celebrate with you, you know, and just thank God for Pastor Terry and the church family here, you know, just honoring, you know, and I know that he's a man that honors many people, you know, and sometimes, you know, we can take the little things for granted. But how many know we need to appreciate just the small things? So we appreciate what you're doing, Pastor Terry and Miss Brandon. We thank God for you guys and just love you guys and thank God for our church family here. You know, we are family, right? Yes. Amen. So I just thank God for you, you know, and, you know, I wanted to share some things with you this morning concerning faith, you know, and okay. Let's turn to Romans. Okay, let's do that. It's funny. Being a preacher, you know, some people think, oh, that's just easy stuff. You know, but it's not an easy task, but it's a joy task. I put it that way. I enjoy preaching the word. I enjoy living out the word more than I used to. I used to didn't like to do nothing but just quote scriptures, but now I love living it out. You know, I learned that just quoting scriptures is more of a religious thing than it is a relationship thing. You know, but when we can live it out, you know, in those difficult moments, you know, it means so much more to me that when someone does something to me or something happened in life that I can reflect and hear what God is saying and just stand there and live it out in that moment, you know. And I believe that's what God is. He's always called his body to live it out. But how many know we've tried to fake it and do a lot of, put on the mask and, you know, do a lot of things to say, well, hey, look at me. But how many know, I believe we're at the place now that we're beginning to see and understand that this is just not a book to be read, but it's a book to be lived. And I believe that what God is doing, you know, I believe what God is doing, you know, and you can judge us, you know, I believe what God is doing is bringing the church to a place to where we respect him again for who he is, okay? And you say, well, no, I've always respected God. That includes God's people, you know. And we don't never want to lose the respect for God's leadership. And I know that you're saying, well, you know, I never disrespect leadership. But we can do it in so many different ways to where sometimes we don't even realize, you know, and that we are disrespecting leadership, you know. If a leader, you know, and what God is doing, he's placed leaders to do what? To train us and equip us to do the work of the ministry. See, a lot of people think, well, that's the preacher's job. But when God gave the fivefold ministry, the prophet, the apostle, the evangelist, the teacher, and the pastor, he gave those functions, those five functions, for the equipping of the saints, that the saints would do the work of the ministry. But see, culture has put it on us, well, that's the pastor's job. really, the pastor's job is to equip you, which we have a great equipper. You know, we have a great teacher that's equipping us. I'm telling you, if you want to get equipped, come on Wednesday night. Amen. We have some great times with truths being broke down and religions being confronted, you know. And what God is wanting to do is he's wanting to use these fivefold ministries is to perfect the saints to do the work of the ministry so that we can grow up into the full stature of Christ. That where we begin to do the work without even being, you know, have to be told, well, you go visit the sick, well, you go visit. No, it just becomes a body ministry. Okay? You know, and that's why that it takes a body. God didn't just say one particular person. For many years, you know, it's been the Lone Ranger, but how many know the Lone Rangers get ambushed? We need some Tottos. We need some more that will follow alone, amen? That will be alongside of the leadership that the work will be done. See, and never sell yourself short. You're here today because God, he needs you. Now, a lot of people say, well, God don't need anybody. Yes, he does. If God didn't need anybody, why would he create people? He created us for the purpose of reflecting him. But when Adam fell in the garden, he fell short of God's glory. But God said, I have a plan that I'm going to send the second Adam. And the second Adam is going to be made a quickening spirit, which was Jesus Christ. Amen? And when Jesus Christ came on the scene, how many know he represented the second Adam? And what we got to understand is that we are to not be identified with the first Adam. Our true identity is with the second Adam. Because the first Adam failed. Remember God told him, he said, now you can eat freely of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat, lest thou shalt surely die. And guess what happened? There was a day that him and his wife was together. And the serpent began to talk to her, and the serpent began to say, ah, surely you won't die. Surely God is holding this cord from you. And then they partook of the fruit, and their eyes were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they ran from the presence of God and hid themselves among the trees. And here come God in the cool of the day, in the breath of God coming, saying, where art thou, Adam? And he hid himself. He said, where are you at, Adam? He hid himself. And he said, we're naked. Who told you this? Who told you this? Do you know that Adam, when he partook of the fruit, their eyes were open to know good and evil. But the good and evil is not what God is wanting to do for us. The life is what God wants. His Zoe. The life of God was in him to the place to where he was able to even think like God. When a man say a giraffe, and you see a giraffe now, and it come to your mind, an animal with a long neck. You see an elephant, you think of something big. Do you know that that came out of Adam? And you and I have the same ability, the creativity of God. But what has happened, we have bit into a lie. To where the enemy said, you are not worthy enough. You are not good enough. Now, I'm going to tell you where the lie came from. When they were singing this song this morning, the evil that was meant for me, what say that God turned the evil for what? Good. Amen. See, the evil that the devil has set us up for was to be eternally separated from God. But God said, I love this people so much to where I'm gonna wrap myself in flesh. And I'm gonna come just like man. I'm gonna come so much like him to where I'm gonna feel everything he feels. I'm going to sense everything he sensed. I'm going to go through trials and tribulation and temptation just like he's going to go through it. You said, no, not my Lord. Hebrews said that we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, our weaknesses. But in all points, he was tempted like we were, yet without sin. You said, you mean Jesus was tempted? Yes, he was. The enemy met him head on after baptism. He said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Now, listen to this. Why are you going to ask Jesus that? And he just got up. He just heard from heaven that you are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Do you see how the enemy works? When you receive from God, the enemy comes to sow in, try to get you to what? Not believe. See, and this is where we're at, church. See, it's already been done for you. Anything that you need in life has already been accomplished. When Jesus said, it is finished, do you not know what Jesus had done was this? He finished the works that God had given him. He defeated Satan. He came on his turf, and he defeated Satan in his own playground. He said, what do you mean his own playground? Because guess what? He had title deed to this world. He had title deed to it. Adam gave it to him. When Adam partook of the forbidden fruit, how many know he gave his rights over to Satan? But Jesus came, amen, he's come to undo everything the enemy has put on us. So therefore, I want you to understand this morning that when we were born into this world, the Bible says that we were born in sin and we were shaped into iniquity. We were bent by our sins. But Jesus came, amen, the Bible said in 2 Corinthians, the last verse of chapter 5, 2 Corinthians says, he who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So what Jesus did, he came and he paid the price for every one of us that we might have life and life more abundantly. You said, how did he do it? He shedded his blood for you. He was nailed to a rugged cross. He was humiliated and shamed. Amen. He could have came down. He could have called angels. But guess what? He said, I see John in this. There's a joy that's set before me. And I see John Mitchell. Yeah, he's tangled up in his grave clothes right now. Yeah, he's bound with all this sin and all this stuff that he's learned and all these negativities that's been spoken over him. I see John in the scope right now. But I also see John coming to me and saying, forgive me of my sins. For my sin was an offense unto you. But I come to you today and I ask you to forgive me. And now I'm going to make John a new creature. The lies have been put out on us, but guess what? There's a truth to every lie. And what Jesus is wanting us to do is begin to transform our way of thinking into the truth and the reality of who we really are. You are God's workmanship created in him for good works. The work that he has worked in you can come out of you. See, but what has happened is religion have told us to play the part. But we don't have to play the part. We can experience the life. We can experience the realness. This is what's wrong with people. They think, well, I'm in such bad a shape. I'm in so bad a shape today. There's no way that good can come out of this. What the devil meant for evil, God is turning it for good. See, God's aim is not make us good church people. God's aim is to make us whole. That when we go out, we don't come out of our hurt. We come out of the life of Jesus Christ. And what he's doing, God has always wanted to heal his people. Read the Old Testament. It always says, I'm bringing health to you. I'm bringing healing to you. I want to restore you. I want to bring you back to me. I let you go into captivity that you might learn to trust me. God is after us. He's pursuing us because he knows that there is great potential in every one of us. There is value in every one of us. But what the enemy wants us to do is identify with our past, but we cannot identify with our past. We must identify with who Christ has said we are. Because every time I identify with my past, I go back into bondage. And I had this lady to tell me, she said, you know, I got to keep the Ten Commandments. You know, that's the only way we can get out of this is I got to have the Ten. We got to do these Ten Commandments. I said, let me just tell you, let me show you a better way. She said, there is no better way. I said, oh, yes, it is. I said, what if I could tell you that if you keep one of these, you can keep all of them. She said, I don't believe that. I said, that's the problem. Right there. You don't believe it. You know why? Because we're used to working to get approval. If I just be so good and so nice, they will accept me. Oh, if I just give, they will accept me. Honey, it ain't about your works. Paul said this. He said, it's not of works lest any man should boast. See, if you can work this out and make it happen, you got something to boast about. But guess what? You can't do it. I mean, you know, a lot of us tried to do it. Lord, if you'll just get me out of, just let me get out of this one. Lord, just help me get, nope. And then next, I'm right back at it again. Why? Because there was a principle at work in me, and it was called the principle of what? The sin and death, the law of sin and death. But how many know there is a greater law, which is called the life of the Spirit of Christ in Christ Jesus, that has set me free? And we was just talking, and you know, I mean, I was feeling good because I was baiting her up for this. And she said, how in the world you feel? Where do you get this from that you can tell me one and I can fulfill them all? I said, sure I can. I said, you ready? She said, wait a minute. She said, thou shalt not do. And I said, it ain't even a thou shall. She said, you one of them false teachers, aren't you? I said, no, I'm going to tell you the truth. And have you ever read that Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free? She said, yeah, I know that. I said, the truth is this. He said, I leave you a new commandment, that you should love one another as I have loved you. And I said, the word of God says, if you would just love, love is a fulfillment of all of it. She said, get out of here. I said, that's the truth. I said, look, I'm not commanded to judge. I'm not commanded to do any of those things. I'm commanded just to love. And she looked at me and she said, all these years, people preaching the commandments. I said, that's old covenant stuff. But the new covenant is this. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you should love one another. He said, this is how the world going to know that you are my disciples, is that you have love for one another. Do you not know the Bible even says, faith which worketh by love? Paul went on to say, he said, look, I can give my body to be burned. I can understand every mystery. I can understand all this. I can have great knowledge. But if I don't have love, what does it profit me? Nothing. I'm just like a clanging cymbal, all out of rhythm. But love put us in rhythm. Love put us in rhythm. You get to dance with the King. He puts rhythm to it. And when you go around people, you just keep dancing with the King. You know, you don't have to let what they say affect you. You just keep dancing with the King. And after a while, guess what? People begin to say, what do you want? I just want to love you. Say, the door's open now. What do you want? I just want to love you. Well, why you want to love me? Because I know you're a fallen creation. And I know there is pain in you. I know there is wounds in you. I know there is hurt in you. How do you know that? Because sin leaves a mark. Sin takes us to pain. But how many know grace brings us out of the pain? And Jesus Christ came that we would be brought out of the pain. Amen. Yes, we suffer some things, but guess what? He want to make you a new creature. Amen. He want to remove that stain and that hurt. He want to heal that wound. Are you saying? He did all this. He got John in scope. I said, I love that boy. He coming to me. Yes, Daddy, I'm coming. But see, what he's calling me to is not just a religion. He's calling me into a relationship. He wants to have koinonia with me. He wants to have fellowship. And see, the more I fellowship with him, the more I fellowship with him, the more I get to know him, and the more intimate that I become with him, the more freer I'm gonna become. Do you not know that when you begin to get free, what I'm experiencing about freedom is this. You hear the little enemy's lies come, but you laugh at them. You say, that ain't even me no more. That's not me no more. Yeah, you know you used to do this. You ever seen kids giggling? You be looking, what's so funny? Because it's a lie. He's lying to you. And you say, well, Brother Pastor, you don't know what I've went through. Do you not know there is healing for you? God loves you so much to where it, some people think, well, it's just natural healing. But do you not know some of us have been damaged in our soul and we need spiritual healing? See, a lot of times it's not the enemy that's got you locked in and bound up. It's that wound that's been inflicted on you. And I'm not downing this. You know, it could be rape. It could be, you know, it could be some things that happened that's drastic to you that you wonder, and you know, and you're ashamed. And the enemy is saying, if you tell that, look how they're going to look at you. But let me tell you something. The secrecy of it is the power of it. I'm not saying go tell everybody. But find somebody that you know that you can trust and that love you and that can help you with this. You know why? Because there are many people think that it is the devil, but it's the wound that's holding them. It's the stronghold of the enemy. And the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Those fortresses that the enemy has built around us. How many know the truth can begin to pull them down? And that's what God is doing. You know, I'm learning, you know, that John, it ain't like you was told, son. Quote three scriptures and sing a song and then boom, the presence of God is on you. Nah, don't work that way. It's in those quiet times. It's in those private times. It's in those times that where you spend alone with just you and God. saying, God, I just need you to touch, Lord God. I just need you to heal this problem, Lord. I just need you, Lord God, to help me to overcome the stronghold of the enemy. And what God would do, the Holy Spirit would begin to rise up in you, and you get into the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit would begin to breathe on that Word and bring revelation. And for long, you are not walking in the old letter, but you're walking in a new life, amen? You're walking in a revelation that you never had before, and that revelation is setting you free. That's what he was saying. He said, faith. Do you realize it is impossible to please God without faith? Amen? Do you realize that it's impossible to please God in the flesh? He said, the flesh cannot please God. Watch this now. Well, I just got a feeling. The just walk by faith and not by sight. See, for so many years, I was locked into this mental ascent. If I could feel it, I would believe it. If I could see it, I was on it. But when I quit feeling and I quit seeing it, I was doubting. So what's going on here, God? Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That word hearing means there is a breathe on that word that's called rhema. And that word that you receive by the rhema is bringing life to you. See, I can give you the letter and tell you to do a lot of religious things. Well, don't do this, don't do that. But how many know that is just going to make it worse? What I need to help you to understand is this. You need to get on your knees and begin to pray to God and ask God. Read the word. Ask God. Say, God, just help me to understand. What are you saying here, God? And the Holy Spirit will begin to disclose himself to you. He'll begin to open up the true riches of God. And see, when we get the true riches of God, the substitute has to go. Why? Because the real is here now. And that's what Jesus was doing. He said, the real is here now. It's no more offering up a lamb. It's no more offering up sacrifice. It's the real is here now. I'm looking for something on the inside to take place. I want to give you an experience that you will go away knowing that you know that you know. The experience that I want to give you is real. And it will mark you for the rest of your life. Guess what? Hebrews 4 says the word did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith. See, God has already did it for you. All you got to do now is read it and understand it and appropriate it by faith and receive it for yourself. See, you go out here praying these prayers, I'm naming it and I'm claiming it. What are you basing your claiming on? Even in the gold rush, you had to have something. You had to have something to base your claim on. And guess what? There is a claim that you and I have been given, that all the riches of the world, all the cattle on the hill, all the things in this earth, everything that you can name, guess what? Base your claim on this. Because what's happening, a lot of people are basing things on their feelings. Well, I just don't feel God is doing that. But what do the words say? See, this is the standard, not John. And whatever God speaks, how many know God can speak in any way he wants to, but it will not go contrary to this. And what's going on now, people are coming up with their own doctrines. Well, he's a good God. Yes, he is. Well, since he's a good God, I can do what I want to, when I want to, how I want to. No, you can't. If you've been bought with a price, you are no longer your own. And your righteousness is based on him, Your righteousness was as filthy rags, but his righteousness is right standing with him. It's the right that God has on you when you accept what Christ did. Christ, God is saying, now you mind. You mess up, I'm going to chasten you. I'm going to straighten you out. Guess what? And he's not a brutal God. He's not an abuser, but he knows how to get our attention. Sometimes a switch don't do justice the way God chastises. Give me the switch and let me get it over. And God says, uh-uh, no, you're coming this way. So faith, come by here. See, people are praying and doing all kinds of things to get faith. I want faith like Benny. No, I want faith like this. I want faith like this. Why do you want it? You want it so you can be a spotlight. But see, God knows your heart. And God said, that's not what faith is about. If God used me to heal the sick, guess what? I'm still John Mitchell. I ain't going to go out here and, well, let's get a billboard. John Mitchell is a healer now. I can't heal a flea. But guess what? The God on the inside of me can. See, all glory goes to him. It's not me that's doing, I'm like Jesus. It's him that's in me. What I see the Father do, that's what I want to do. What I hear the Father say, that's what I want to say. What the Father hates, I want to hate. I want to be a Father pleaser. And when you want to be a Father pleaser, how many know you're going to have to stand for justice and righteousness? It's not a preference. It's for all humanity. Amen? So, Did I give a scripture? No, you said Romans. I said, okay. Man. Okay. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, now faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Listen, you know, and I got to close here, okay? But listen at this. Go back and read that because the Bible said, he that believeth will not be disappointed. And that's where we're stuck at now. A lot of people think, well, if I believe this, what's going to happen? You won't be disappointed if you believe. I mean, you know, we face so much disappointment. Well, sometimes we think, well, what if I believe this? What if I believe this and nothing happened? You can't believe it and nothing happened. You can't. If you believe it, that spirit, man, if you truly believe it, guess what? It's going to happen. You say, well, what if I'm believing negative? Negative is going to happen. If you talk doubt and unbelief and you say, well, you know, I'm just a no good person, and your feelings are gonna fluctuate. They're gonna begin to line up with that. But quit telling yourself that because God values you. Yes. If anything hurts a dad, it's for his child to think dad don't love him. That's a hurtful feeling. But it's a good feeling when the son says, dad, I know you love me. Every whooping I got, I deserved it. Yes! So you was doing good till you said that, preacher. You don't know what happened here. But isn't God good? Yes. It is so good just to laugh in the presence of the Lord. You know, I trust that what I said, you got something out of it. But God is, I'm telling you, God is wanting to heal us up. You know, and a lot of people say, well, I'm not really sick. Well, thank God, you know, have mercy on the ones that are. You know, because people are hurting. The last thing they need to hear is, you know, yeah, God is doing that to you because you did this. No, see, God does not work that way. Let me clear up your religious thinking. If you think that way, well, this happened bad to me because I didn't do this and I didn't do that. How many know God is bigger than that? Now, I'm going to tell you why some things happen to us, and I'm going to close. It's because of our decisions. Life itself will bring you to a place to where you have to make decisions. Now, if you make the wrong decisions, guess what? There are consequences. See, you... I might better go down. See... Okay. Okay. I'm trying to be sensitive because I don't want to say nothing offensive. But I want to say this, and this is not a condemnation. We're living in a time now that, you know, there's a lot of sex outside of marriage. And people have the audacity to say, you know, well, you know, God calls this on me. Now, when you make a decision to go out here and have sex and do things, how many know that God is not doing it? If you get pregnant, God ain't doing that. That's the reproduction that he created, but it's supposed to have been confined into marriage. But guess what? It does happen outside of marriage. But what I'm saying is people want to blame God for these things when it was your choice. Now, what you need to do is say, you know, I know God didn't do this to me, but I want God to help me with this. See, our choices sometimes bring consequences, all the time, not sometimes, but all the time, they bring consequences. So what we have to understand is that's why the Bible says, do what? Choose life that you may live and your seed. See, it's not a hard thing. We make it harder than what it really is. But all God is saying, get my wisdom, get my understanding. And all thy getting, get understanding. If you're about to make a decision, you know, acknowledge God. You know, because I made enough bad decision apart from God to where I don't want to make another one. I want mine to count now. I mean, I made some bunch of just stupidity, you know, thinking I knew what I was doing. And all the time, all I had to do was say, Father, what are you saying? And let me give you this. This is free. And think about this. If you're not for sure what you're about to do, ask your pastor sometime about, share with him, I'm about to do this. What are you sensing here? Because, you know, sometimes, you know, God will give him wisdom to tell you, not yet. Hold on. And you might say, but hold on. No, I got to go. No, hold on. See, and what he's doing is for your safety. He's protecting you so that you won't go off on the deep end. But see, now people say, well, I hear from God just like anybody else. The only problem with that, what God are you hearing? Because there is safety in the multitude of counsel. And God didn't put it there to make it look good for you. He put it there for a reason. And the counsel of God will stand sure. And that's what we have to do. Because God works all things after the counsel of his own will. Okay. Is there anybody that needs Jesus today? Anybody? Thank you. Who was that? Somebody sharp. Thank you. Well, is there anybody that's not saved today that haven't met Jesus Christ? You said, I've heard about him, but I haven't accepted him yet for my personal Savior. If that's you, raise your hand. Let me put my radar out. Okay, we all family. We all born again. Now listen at this. Because you are born again, start feeding on this. Because this is your life. See, there are things in here that God want to reveal to you. God want to reveal to you. He want to be personal, your Savior. But see, where the devil has lied to us over and over again, you're going to have to replace them lies with this truth. Not with religion, do's and don'ts, but with truth. And Jesus said, my word is what? Truth. The Spirit will lead and guide you into all truth. How many know there's a lot of truth in here that we got to get a hold of? But let me tell you this, and I'm closing, okay? It takes time. It takes time. No time waiting on God is ever lost. And the thing that the enemy will whisper to your mind, you got to hurry up and get this. You got to hurry up and do that. Don't listen to that lie. Because it takes time to get established and get a good foundation under you. And the reason you want a good foundation, because God is going to build a great house in you. you are the house, and your foundation needs to be able to withstand what's coming against the house. So take time to get to know him. Don't rush. God ain't gonna, they used to tell me, boy, you better go on and preach. If you don't preach, Jesus is gonna come back and you're gonna go to hell. And guess what I want? I need to hurry up, but the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me do it. I mean, I came dumb one time. I couldn't think a thing, thinking I had a word to give and all kind of stuff, and it was just flesh. But I learned it takes time to get rooted in the word. But it can start today, but it don't have to end today. You can continue on in learning about your new creation. Amen? God bless you. Amen. Do you have something, Pastor? Devil, what you do with that mic? Oh, I'm sorry.
Amen. Good word. Stand to your feet. This is going to be our closing. Have you know he closed three times?
Oh, I got
so he's ahead of he's ahead of most preachers. Most preachers, it takes five closings to get you out of here. But this is our closing, okay? It's a song. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. Take that with you. God bless you. Make sure you get to say thank you to Doug Logan. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.